Welcome to Physics Unlocked, your exam-focused revision podcast. I'm your host, and today we're diving deep into one of the most fascinating and frequently examined topics in A-level physics, nuclear and particle physics. Whether you're sitting at Excel, AQA, or OCR, this episode is going to give you everything you need to tackle this topic with confidence. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get into it. By the end of this episode, you'll understand the Standard Model, how particle accelerators work, how to analyze particle tracks, and, crucially, how to apply conservation laws to earn every single mark the examiner is offering. Let's go. Section 1. The Standard Model. The Universe's Instruction Manual. Think of the Standard Model as the periodic table of fundamental particles. It's our best current theory describing what everything in the universe is made of and how those things interact. There are two main families of matter particles, quarks and leptons. Quarks are the building blocks of hadrons, particles like protons and neutrons. There are six quarks arranged in three generations, up and down, charm and strange, top and bottom. The ones you absolutely must know for your exam are up, down, and strange. A proton is made of two up quarks and one down quark. Remember, UUD. A neutron is two down quarks and one up quark, UDD. Quarks have fractional charges. Up-type quarks carry a charge of plus 2/3, and down-type quarks carry minus 1/3. Leptons are the other family of matter particles. These include the electron, the muon, the tau, and their associated neutrinos. Leptons don't feel the strong nuclear force. That's a key distinction. Now, holding everything together are the force carrier particles called bosons. The photon carries the electromagnetic force. Gluons carry the strong nuclear force. They're what bind quarks together inside protons and neutrons. The W plus and W minus bosons and the Z boson carry the weak nuclear force, and these are the ones responsible for beta decay. The Higgs boson gives other particles their mass. Here's a memory hook for the exchange particles in beta decay. W for weak, W for beta. In beta minus decay, a down quark changes to an up quark, emitting a W minus boson, which then decays into an electron and an antineutrino. In beta plus decay, an up quark changes to a down quark, emitting a W plus boson, which decays into a positron and a neutrino. Section 2. Conservation laws, the examiner's favorite tool. Conservation laws are the backbone of particle physics questions. If a particle interaction is proposed, you need to check whether it violates any conservation law. If it does, it cannot happen. The four conservation laws you must apply are conservation of charge, conservation of baryon number, conservation of lepton number, and conservation of energy and momentum. Let me walk you through each one. Conservation of charge. The total electric charge before an interaction must equal the total charge after. This one is usually straightforward. Conservation of baryon number. Baryons, like protons and neutrons, have a baryon number of plus 1. Antibaryons have minus 1. Mesons and leptons have baryon number 0. The total baryon number is always conserved. Conservation of lepton number. This is where candidates often lose marks. There are actually three separate lepton numbers: electron lepton number, muon lepton number, and tau lepton number, and each is conserved separately. An electron has electron lepton number plus 1. An electron antineutrino has electron lepton number minus 1. These must balance independently. Now here's the one that trips everyone up: strangeness. Strangeness is a quantum number assigned to particles containing strange quarks. It is conserved in strong and electromagnetic interactions, but it is not conserved in weak interactions, such as particle decays. This is a very common exam question. If a particle decays via the weak force, strangeness can change by plus or minus 1. Section 3. Particle accelerators. Electric fields accelerate, magnetic fields steer. This is the most important sentence in this entire episode, so I'm going to say it again. Electric fields accelerate particles. Magnetic fields change direction, not speed. A magnetic force is always perpendicular to the velocity of the particle. Because it acts at 90 degrees to the motion, it does no work. It cannot change the kinetic energy of the particle. It can only change the direction of travel. This is why magnetic fields are used to bend particle paths into circles. An electric field, on the other hand, exerts a force parallel to the particle's motion, doing work on it and increasing its kinetic energy. This is how particles are accelerated. Now let's talk about the cyclotron, a classic exam favorite. A cyclotron consists of two hollow D-shaped metal chambers called Ds, separated by a small gap. A uniform magnetic field is applied perpendicular to the plane of the Ds. Particles are injected at the center and travel in semicircular paths inside each D. Each time a particle crosses the gap between the Ds, an alternating electric field accelerates it, giving it a boost of kinetic energy. The genius of the cyclotron is this. As the particle gains speed, its orbital radius increases, but the time to complete each semicircle stays the same. Why? Because the period of circular motion is T equals 2 pi m divided by BQQ. There's no V in that equation. The period is independent of speed. So the alternating voltage can stay at a fixed frequency and always be in sync with the particle. This is called resonance. The radius of the circular path is given by R equals mv divided by bq. As v increases, R increases proportionally. For a linear accelerator, a LINAC, the principle is similar, but the geometry is different. Particles travel in a straight line through a series of drift tubes. The electric field in the gaps between tubes accelerates the particles. Inside the tubes, there's no field, so the particles drift at constant speed. The tubes get progressively longer because the particles are moving faster, ensuring they always arrive at the next gap when the field is in the right direction to accelerate them. Section 4. Particle tracks and annihilation, exam tips and common mistakes. When you're given a bubble chamber photograph or a diagram of particle tracks and a magnetic field, here's your step-by-step approach. Step 1. Apply Fleming's left-hand rule. Point your index finger in the direction of the magnetic field, your middle finger in the direction of conventional current, which is the direction of motion for positive charges or opposite to motion for negative charges, and your thumb points in the direction of the magnetic force. Step 2. Determine the charge from the direction of curvature. If the particle curves in the direction predicted by Fleming's rule for a positive charge, it's positive. If it curves the opposite way, it's negative. If it travels in a straight line, it's neutral. Step 3. Determine momentum from the radius. A larger radius means higher momentum because R equals mv over bq. A tighter spiral means the particle is losing energy, perhaps through ionization of the medium. Now, annihilation. When a particle meets its antiparticle, for example, an electron meets a positron, they annihilate, converting all their mass into energy in the form of two photons. Two photons are produced, not one, to conserve momentum. The energy of each photon is calculated using E equals mc squared for the rest mass energy plus any kinetic energy. If the particles are approximately at rest, each photon has energy equal to the rest mass energy of one particle, 0.511 MeV for an electron or positron. The critical mistake candidates make here. They calculate the total energy from E equals mc squared and forget to divide by 2 to get the energy per photon. Always divide by 2. Also, and this is crucial, always convert MeV or GeV to joules before substituting into standard SI formulas. 1 MeV equals 1.6 times 10 to the minus 13 joules. Forgetting this conversion leads to answers that are off by a factor of millions. Section 5, Quickfire Recall Quiz. Cover your notes and answer these. Ready? Here we go. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, then give the answer. Question 1. What is the quark composition of a proton? The answer is up, up, down. OOD. Question 2. Which exchange particle is responsible for beta minus decay? The answer is the W minus boson. Question 3. Is strangeness conserved in weak interactions? The answer is no. Strangeness is only conserved in strong and electromagnetic interactions. Question 4. What does the magnetic field do to a charged particle in a cyclotron? The answer is, it changes the direction of the particle's motion, providing the centripetal force. It does not accelerate it. Question 5. In electron-positron annihilation, why are two photons produced rather than one? The answer is, to conserve momentum. A single photon cannot have zero total momentum, but two photons traveling in opposite directions can. Question 6. Write the equation linking orbital radius to momentum in a magnetic field. The answer is R equals P over BQ, or equivalently, R equals MV over BQ. Section 6. Summary and sign-off. Let's bring it all together. Nuclear and particle physics is a topic where precision earns marks. The examiners are looking for specific language, correct conservation law identification, and careful unit handling. Remember these key points. The standard model organizes fundamental particles into quarks, leptons, and bosons. Proton is UUD, neutron is UDD. Beta decay is mediated by W bosons, not gluons. Conservation laws, charge, baryon number, lepton number, must all be checked. Strangeness is conserved in strong interactions only. In a cyclotron, the electric field accelerates and the magnetic field steers. The period of a cyclotron orbit is independent of speed. T equals 2 pi m over bq. In annihilation, divide total energy by 2 for energy per photon. Always convert MeV to joules before using SI formulas. You've got this. The more you practice applying these conservation laws and the more comfortable you get with the equations, the more confident you'll feel walking into that exam hall. Thanks for listening to Physics Unlocked. Good luck with your revision. And remember, every mark you earn is a mark you prepared for. See you next time.